All right, Alexander, let's talk about Saudi Arabia again. And let me take you to oilprice.com with the title reading, Saudi Arabia's deficit to soar as oil price war rages on. Saudi Arabia could book a budget deficit of as much as $61 billion this year under the double blow of corona pandemic and the global oil glut. Research from financial firm Jadwa Investments has suggested this would represent almost 8% of the kingdom's GDP, Arabian Business reported, adding that the budget revenue for the year will be a bit lower than what the government projected in its budget draft at $210 billion, 791 billion reals. Spending, on the other hand, will come in at $270 billion, 1.02 trillion reals. And further down in the article, it says that we may even be looking at $10 a barrel. Possibly the oil price may go as low as $10 a barrel as the global oil storage is filling up, and this could push prices further down. That would be quite a blow to the kingdom. Alexander, we've documented the crazy kingdom in a couple of videos last week, and MBS is erratic, unexplainable behavior, to be quite honest, and no one's really sure what he's up to. How are you seeing things right now for the kingdom?
Well, they're grim. I mean, when you read to me that piece, I mean, the thing that made my eyebrows whirl up was when you said, that when the article says that, their income will be a bit down, a bit, it's collapsing. I mean, there's no conceivable way, or you can argue about it in any other form. And I'm going to say something else: 8% GDP budget deficit. They will be very lucky if it is only 8%. I mean, at the rate things are moving, I mean, I would not be surprised if we could be looking at a budget deficit of 15%. Percent, even higher, perhaps. I mean, because the oil prices, be absolutely clear about this, they've been reasonably steady actually over the last couple of days, or at least in fact about 2 weeks since the original crazy decision to launch the oil price war. I mean, they've dipped up and down around the $30 a barrel limit for Brent crude, but in practice, they've always stabilized at around $30 a barrel, perhaps just slightly below. But with MBS apparently still intent on flooding the world with oil in April, and with demand crashing as more and more economies go into lockdown, thirsty to things to say. I mean, who is he going to spend? Who's going to buy his oil? Who needs his oil now? So you can't keep all this oil that he's pumping out at this relentless rate in storage. So I would not be at all surprised if we saw $10 a barrel. It might even go lower than that. I even saw one article which MBS needs to really think about very, very carefully, which actually speculated that oil might actually go into a negative price. In other words, there might be so much of the stuff that in order to unload it, because if his own storage facilities become exhausted, he might actually be obliged to pay people to take it. I mean, it's that crazy a situation. And I'm going to say something else about Saudi Arabia. It's not just oil, the oil price is crashing and oil production, which is soaring. The other thing is they seem to be losing control of the corona situation. I've been getting reports that, they're announcing about between 500 and 700 cases. But I mean, it's quite a lot of cases for a Well, it's still a relatively small country, but apparently the overwhelming belief is that, again, a bit like Ukraine that we talked about the other day, there's an awful lot more of it, an awful lot more of this disease going around, that and it isn't being tracked or tested properly because, of course, Saudi Arabia's administrative structures, again, are not really up to doing this. So he's losing control of the oil market because that's basically what's going to happen if he goes on pumping out oil in this level. He's got his eye off the ball with the corona situation. And of course, the other thing that he's doing, and we just need to touch on this again, is he is making the United States, his great ally, extremely angry. And I read an article on another article on oilprice.com, which is, by the way, the indispensable website for anybody who wants to follow the events in the oil industry, in which apparently there is now a head of steam building up in the US Congress and amongst some parts of the US oil industry for Congress to pass a bill into law which would declare OPEC an illegal cartel. Now, that has been prevented in the past, but apparently people are now so angry in the United States. It's been proposed in the past, but it's been rejected. But this time, it's not so sure it would be rejected. Now, the United States, as we know, has in recent years been claiming that its domestic laws have universal jurisdiction. They can be applied to anyone, anywhere. So the idea would be that OPEC is a cartel. It is pursuing anti-competitive and monopolistic practices, which, by the way, it is, because it is a cartel. And on that basis, it would be subject to domestic US antitrust legislation, which would mean that the US authorities could go after Saudi assets in the United States, which are extensive, and they could even bring criminal charges against the heads of Aramco. And possibly they could even demand that Saudi Aramco be broken up. Now, I'm not saying whether that's going to happen, but that the very fact that it's been talked about, and apparently it's been talked about in all seriousness in the US, is that really the direction of travel that MBS and Saudi Arabia want to take?
Okay, so people are getting sick of MBS. The question now is not if, but when.
Absolutely. They're going to get rid of him. I gather that there's already now negotiations. I mean, not negotiations. I mean, talks underway between the US government and the Saudis. And the US authorities are already twisting Saudi arms and are telling the Saudis that, you know, this can't go on for much longer, because what MBS is doing, I mean, is causing major damage to the US oil industry, which the United States regards as a strategic asset. So it seems, and this is really extraordinary, that the US is now for the first time edging towards accepting that it may have itself to make production cuts, which is pretty remarkable when you consider it. I mean, the US has always ridiculed the idea that it should ever make production cuts, but apparently it is starting to edge towards that position. But it comes with a threat that if Saudi Arabia doesn't fall into line, they will take very strong action against Saudi Arabia. And I get to say straight away, if this bill that's been talked about is ever proposed and starts winding its way through the Congress, people in Saudi Arabia are going to be so worried and anxious that at that point, I think MBS has no future. I think at that point, the princes will move.
What does that mean, though? The princes will move. Like, is it going to be just kind of MBS? Here's, you know, your palace. Just go hang out there for the next 50 years. Leave us alone, or what?
What I think would happen is that there would either be a call on the king to replace MBS as crown prince, in other words, remove him from the position of crown prince, or if the king is not prepared to do that, the princes would tell him, well, in that case, you can't continue. And continue to be king. Now, that has happened before in Saudi Arabia. It happened in the early 1960s when the princes came together under the leadership of Prince Faisal, who was one of the very strong princes at that time. And they told King Saud, who was the son of the founder of the kingdom, King Abdulaziz ibn Saud, his son, King Saud, they told King Saud, look, you know, you're not measuring up to being king, and we want you out of the way, and we want you to leave. And he had to leave because ultimately it's a family oligarchy, and the king by himself can't rule the kingdom without the support of the other princes. And I understand that there have actually now been reports which are saying that more and more of the, even of MBS's own supporters, are now starting to have doubts about what he's doing. So I think that's where we're going. And I think we're going very fast. I think if this continues for very much longer, I would not be surprised. I'm not making a prediction, but I would not be surprised if MBS is out before the end of the year. And that might be a optimistic trajectory for him.
All right, Alexander, and to finish the video, $10 a barrel, what does that do to Russia?
Well, they'll survive it. What will happen in that situation is, look, we would be looking at $100 ruble. I mean, that's something that will happen. I mean, but, you know, people should not be mystified by numbers. Numbers are just numbers at the end of the day. I don't think you would see inflation seriously rise in Russia. It's very low at the moment. It's about 2%, roughly the same as in the US before the corona crisis began. So I think the price situation in Russia is pretty stable. I think the ruble would be pretty stable within Russia itself. It might fall radically by comparison with the dollar, but it's actually pretty stable against other currencies that Russia tends to trade with, like the Indian rupee, the Chinese RMB, those sort of currencies. And Russia has a big diversified economy, and it has very, very large sums of money locked away in its reserves. It could ride out $10 a barrel. It could ride out $10 a barrel, I reckon, for at least a year, probably longer than that. In fact, I mean, it could probably ride it out indefinitely. I mean, I say $10 a barrel could ride it out for a year. It would probably, beyond that year, need to make adjustments. It would need to cut back on its other spending. It would need to impose austerities. But it could do it. And bear in mind, and this is perhaps an odd thing about Russia at the moment, because they have their corona situation roughly under control. They have about 450 cases at the moment. Their economy is still functioning. So in Russian industry, Russian businesses are still working, not perhaps on the scale that they were at the start of the year, but it's not in total lockdown. So the government is still accumulating revenues, and it isn't spending money at the rate that Western economies are spending money, or that Saudi Arabia, which has a fixed exchange rate, is spending money. So they have a lot more resiliency, far more resiliency than the Saudis do. They can survive with $10 a barrel. The Saudis can't, not if it's prolonged over any length of time. And the US oil industry and the shale producers would struggle.
All right. Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you liked this video, click on that subscribe button, smash that like, check to make sure you are still subscribed to the channel as well, as YouTube unsubscribes our viewers all the time. We don't know why they do it, but they do it. Also, look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps us out a lot. And also go to the Durant Shop and pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, and polo t-shirts.
And you can also
And Patriotic Legacy, our friends at Patriotic Legacy, also have a special discount for all our viewers, 20% off the Patriot Beacon. The link is in the description box down below. Alexander, you love the Beacon.
I absolutely adore the Beacon. I think it's the most amazing torch and tool I have had. And I have it in my car, and I also have it at home because I don't just take it with me when I drive. I also use it in the dark when I go walking my dogs, as I regularly do now, especially now in these times when, you know, you don't want to be meeting people too much because obviously we need to keep social distances from each other. So I don't see very well in the dark. I have night vision glasses, but obviously when I'm driving, I have the headlights on. But when I'm not driving, I don't have headlights, obviously. And London isn't always very well lit. And the parks that I go to are not well lit at all. So I have my torch so that I can keep track of what my dogs are doing. And if I need to call them, I can, because there's also an alarm which makes a noise like that. And that invariably and infallibly brings them running. That's remarkable, because I haven't actually trained them to do it. It seems that they too love the Patriot Beacon so much that they can't resist its call. So there you see what a remarkable torch it is. It is, of course, a torch as well as many other things. It lights and it does all kinds of things. And it flashes too, which is actually, by the way, very, very useful if you're ever stuck on a motorway. If anybody's been stuck on a British motorway, you will know what I mean. Or a German motorway is even worse, because they're extremely fast. So you want to be able to show to people who are sort of trundling up and down it that you're there. So it's really useful for that sort of thing. But of course, it's also extremely useful as a tool. It's got a compass. So if you get lost, and by the way, I'm always getting lost, not on the road, but when I'm walking, I don't have a very good spatial sense. Well, it's got a compass there, so that helps you get your direction. It's also solar powered, so there's no risk of getting cut off or the thing expiring because the battery is done. If you've got your iPhone or your smartphone or your iPad or whatever, or you need to recharge something, there's a USB port so you can recharge it, which is extremely useful, I can say. You've got a magnet so you can stick it on the car, and you've got a hammer which you can break your windscreen with if you need to get out of your car fast. And you can also cut your seatbelt if you're tied in, which is actually quite an important thing to do. Now, in these times, it's also probably quite a useful tool for self-defense. And the other thing, the thing I really like about the Patriot Beacon, which makes it so outstanding, it's indestructible. It is one of these incredibly strong, heavy-duty, all-metal, aluminium tools which the United States produces. I mean, which produces so superbly and so well. If you think of Sub-Zero fridges, for example, stainless steel things, it's that kind of quality, really strong and magnificent item. So I think this would survive, a deluge. I mean, anything that crashes on it or bumps into it, it would function. It would be, it would hardly be dented. It's so strong. So I cannot recommend this too strongly. I would be lost, or I would lose my dogs very fast, I have no doubt, if I didn't have it. At least so I feel now. I just cannot imagine how I could walk my dogs before in the dark without it. So Patriot Beacon it is. Alex, at the end of this program, will explain to you how you can get it. Can I just say, you can get it all over the world. Patriotic Legacy does deliveries everywhere. So, if you can do it in Europe, you can, wherever you are, they will send it to you if you order it through us or through them directly, or however you want to order it. Now, of course, we also have our great things in our shop. We have our magnificent Duran mugs. And this has, you can see there, the Alpha Force, the emblem of the Russian Alpha Force, their elite special forces unit. But, on these bright days, we've now got sunny, hot weather in London. So I'm drinking green tea now. And these mugs are perfect for every kind of tea, for coffee, for hot chocolate, for champagne, for cold beer. They keep them at the right temperature for hours. So these are our magnificent magic mugs, and they're complemented by our brilliant shirts, including this wonderful polo shirt that I'm wearing now, 100% cotton with a double-headed eagle there of the Duran. Really magnificent and stylish and comfortable, and you can wear it in the most extraordinary places. And you can also buy other types of shirts. We sell long-sleeve T-shirts, short-sleeve T-shirts of exceptional quality, also 100% cotton, also incredibly hard wearing. We also have V-neck shirts. We have hats, hoodies and stickers. We have ebooks on subjects like Brexit and Russiagate and Ukrainegate and Epstein. You can find all these things on our shop. You can support the Durand by coming to our shop. As Alex told you, we're coming under a lot of pressure all the time, not just from YouTube, by the way. So you can support the Durand. You can own these great things. You can get yourself a Patriot Beacon. Alex will tell you how.
All right, Alexander, you can get the Patriot Beacon by going to the description box down below, and you'll find the link, and then put in Durand20 upon checkout, and you will get 20% off for all our viewers, 20% off the Patriot Beacon, and it does ship international, like you said, and also go to the Durand shop, thedurandshop.com. You'll find a link for that as well in the description box down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.